There we go. Okay. So moving into the last week of the strategies of working on Kavana, and again, we said these strategies, you know, some of them overlap. Each person has different atios, different parts of their nature, so some work better. So today we're going to wrap up this part, and then we'll move next week into where Gene wanted to know about sort of the unanswered tefillah aspect. So up to the 12th strategy, which is we're going to call personal requests. And we know that the brachos and Shemona Esrei relate to every area of human aspiration, both material-wise and spiritual-wise. And every bracha offers us an opportunity to present our personal requests to Hashem. And Rabbi Yehuda Chassid states, when you daven, we should add to each bracha where it's relevant, things that pertain to our needs, because that will prepare our hearts in order to daven with better kavana. Now, Shemona Esrei is broken up into three aspects. There's what's called the 4th to 15th bracha, which is Atachonein to Es Tzemach. There's Shema Koleinu, and there's Elokai Netzar. And there are different halachos regarding how you're allowed to add your bakashos, your requests, into these places. So the middle brachos, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, says, Imratza lahosa b'chol bracha me'antzos, if someone wants to add to the middle brachos, me'ein ha-bracha, from within that bracha, most of he can add. Ketzad, how does one do this? Hayil ha-chole, if he has someone who's sick, mevakesh alav rachamim b'birchos rifeinu, he asks for rachamim within rifeinu. Hayit tzarech parnasa, if there's a need for parnasa, mevakesh aleha b'birchos ha-shanim, then in the bracha of b'birchos ha-shanim, he asks for parnasa. So, someone we know who has trouble perhaps learning or understanding Torah, you would ask an atachonein. If someone knows, whether it's himself or someone else that needs spiritual health, there's a spiritual setback, yidavin hashiveinu. As the Mechaba told us, achol is rifeinu, parnas is baruch aleinu, and each one, you could plug into it something for that bracha. Now, these requests can be in any language. Preferably, they're supposed to be in Hebrew, but if one can't verbalize them in Hebrew, you could say them even in English or whatever language you understand. Now, the Mishnah Berurah qualifies this a little bit. And the Mishnah Berurah brings a prima gadim and says, Shekasta de dafkem hayulo. It has to be something that you have currently, meaning if you have someone who's sick right now, you can ask for that. V'chein b'parnasa, the same things by parnasa. Dafkem tzarech l'parnasa, it's dafke of right now, you have a need of parnasa. Aval eina rashoy levakish rachamim, it's not proper, you're not supposed to ask for rachamim, bibracha me'amtzos, from the middle brachos, al ha'asit for something for the future. Shlo yechala, you shouldn't get sick. Shlo yechzalach mo chaygavni, you shouldn't lose parnasa. Those type of things you should not do in the middle brachos. And the Mishnah Berurah, which we'll mention shortly later inside, but the Mishnah Berurah, just to finish reading him, says, Masha ein kein b'shamei tefillah, which is different when it comes to shamei tefillah, afila al ha'asid rashay levakesh, where by shamei tefillah you could even ask for the future. So,
a specific spot in the bracha that you're looking
at. Okay. So, let me just finish again, just repeat the Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll mention the Ramah, which takes care of that. So again, the Mishnah Berurah says that the request has to be something that's a current issue, not something that we're asking for a future, that we shouldn't get sick, or we shouldn't have a parnasa issue, but it should be something current. As far as we're in the bracha, so the Ramah tells us, Uchshumosif, when you add, Yaschel b'bracha, first you should say the bracha, v'achakach mosif, and then you would add in, Avolo Yosef, don't add, v'achakach yaschel b'bracha, and then say the bracha. And basically, from my understanding is, you would say the entire bracha, before you say Baruch Atah Hashem, is where you would normally add. Except for in Rifa'enu, where they have, some Sturm have a special tefillah, it's a little before, it's like one line above the Baruch Atah Hashem, but usually it's at the end of the bracha, right? Before you end the bracha, you would then add what your bakasha is, and then you would go, you know, can finish the bracha off. Right. So that's the middle brachos. Moving to Shema'at Tefillah. So in Shema'at Tefillah, as we mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, you're allowed to ask for your needs, whether they're present or future. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, he says in Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Dalet, Tzrachav, Tov lehzvados b'Shema'at Tefillah. It's a good time to confess your Averos in Shema'at Tefillah. V'yomer, and one should say, Chatas yavisu pshati, and, you know, say that I've sinned. V'lishol mezonosav, and to ask for your food, your parnasa, afil imhu asher, even if you're an asher. Vim yeshlo avon mechudosh, and if you have a new avera, maskir beferish betfila kodemus etzlo, you should mention it in a tefila, you know, at that point. Vim atfila b'achna, and say it humbly, val kopanim b'kol bochim, and you should, you know, obviously try to do it with tears that you're feeling it. And be makabel again that you're not going to do this again. Midas v'mlav. And if we don't do this, oz mikatrin alav chas v'sholom omalo, the mikatrigan will come to prosecute. So therefore, if we're going to be asking for things that we want and need, we need to really first clean the slate, Mr. Brewer is telling us, that technically we're deserving. Because if we have averos there, the averos are going to come say, Hashem, how could you all give him parnasa, or how could you, you know, do whatever he's asking? You know, look what he's got going on.
Why by
shlachlonu? You are, but there seems that by shmei tefillah for some reason, again, because you're able to request, you know, really for anything.
No, but why are you repeating this vidui when you've already...
Shlachlonu is not specific. Shlachlonu is saying you're asking Hashem really to help it, to, that he should forgive you for what you've done. You're not specifying at that point a list of averos. It's generic.
Right, okay.
Here, the Mishnah is telling you that you really should be specifying, I spoke Lashon Hara, I didn't daven properly, I got upset at my children, maybe I didn't spend my time at work properly, and I built for time that, you know, I wasn't really working, whatever it might be. You know, my emunah betachon, maybe I doubted you at some point, you know, during the day, so that we're cleaning the slate, so that when we say now, okay Hashem, now, you know, there's some things that at least I think I need. So I'm asking now, and those, the averus are not countering or fighting against us, you know, in as far as that.
You can see the dictionary.
Right, that's also true. The brachos are more plural. Well, this is a personal one. Yes, that is true too. Now, in Shema Yitzhak, again, so this is a bracha where you can put in your deepest yearnings, what you want. There are tefillos that the Chachamim have put together, you know, to help us. Those who use an art scroll, there is a tefillah there for tshuva already with the words. You just have to plug in things that you did. They don't tell you the averus to confess. There's a tefillah there for parnasa. There's a tefillah that the Chazon Ish wrote in the Kovetz Igros Chazon Ish, where is a tefillah for where we daven for our children that they should be successful in their Torah learning. There are tefillos which I was personally saying through the 9 months where a woman is pregnant and expecting. There are different tefillos that you say along the way. So there are different tefillos that Zal have set up besides your own personal that you can say that a person can use at this point, you know, for davening. The last part is Elokai Netzar. Right. The Gemara in Brachos tells us where this came from. It says, Marbarei de Ravina, Kavim Messiahim Selose, when he finished his davening, Omar Hachi used to say, El Kainit Sar Shani Meiros, Vesechman Damir Mirman. Basically, it's almost the same thing as what we say. He had a couple of extra things, which we don't stick in. But that's where the tefillah of El Kainit Sar really comes from. Shemon Esrei really ends after Hamavarach Azam Yisrael B'Sholom, and then Mar Baravashi, and the Gemara there brings really different Amorim that had different versions. We basically took Mar Baravina's version of it. And the part of the reason why we add this in, the Tzlach explains on this Gemara, is to show us that, it was to show us and everyone really, that tefillah is not something forced. Because if it's forced, the second I can get out of it, I'm out of here. But by standing there afterwards and adding our own personal things, it shows us that tefillah is a more personal aspect, and that's why we're davening.
Well, it's not really so personal. It's obviously, you can say something at the end. After,
so you're saying what, Elokai Netzar is not personal? So Elokai Netzar has certain bakashos that are there, which are bakashos that are personal bakashos. You know, Hashem, open my heart for Torah, protect me from, you know, people are coming to hurt me. Those are personal, you know.
I'm saying you're not asking for your own.
Right, but that's the gate to then be able to continue to do that. That's true. But it's not the same as the rest of Shemoneh Esrei, which is more of a generic form. These are actually, in many ways, very specific of things that, you know, help me guard my mouth, which are specific things.
It's also singular.
And it's singular there too, yes. I was about to get to that, but... thank you, because sometimes my mind gets there, and it doesn't always connect. The Mishnah Berurah, that it tells us in Sifkat and Ches, that this is a good time for everybody to, you know, rich and poor, again, to ask for parnasa. It's a time for a parent to ask for their children. And the Aris Devash points out, he says, there's nothing that is too petty for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should never say, I'm going to ask Hashem to help me with this. There's no such thing. There's nothing too large. There's no request that, as unattainable as it might seem, like winning a lottery. There's nothing that, if it's accompanied by a heartfelt tefillah, that Hashem is, you know, looks at and says, you know, what's he bothering me with these type of things? And in reality, we need to train our children when they're younger to realize that. You know, they have a test in school. You know, daven for the test. There's nothing petty about it. My child complains sometimes they come late to school because of carpool. I say, you know what? It's not the person driving carpool that's late. It's Hashem who said that. They're the shliach, perhaps, but it's Hashem. If you want to be on time, ask Hashem. And that it's as simple as that. He's the one who set it up. And if we train our children, we train ourselves that, you know what, there's no petty tefillah, then we'll always be in constant asking him for all the things we need. Whether, again, it's a test grade, a bike, carpool, siblings not bothering them. You know, we should work on our children that they should understand this. And the Chayyadim tells us in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Kasav Chayyadim, Nachon v'roi l'chadom l'spal v'chol yom b'yichal trach v'parnasoso. It's proper and fitting. A person should daven every day specifically on his needs and his parnasa. V'shal yom ha'shatar m'piv v'zaro v'zerzaro. The Torah shouldn't leave his mouth, his children, his grandchildren. V'shiyu kol yotzei chalotzav ovdei Hashem b'emes. And everyone that's come out of him should be ovdei Hashem. V'shal yimotzi chas v'shalom psul b'zaro. There are no psulim in his children chas v'shalom. Anything that he feels he needs, he should say. If you can't say it again, as we said in Hebrew, you could say it in another lashon. It should just come from the depths of your heart. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds a caveat to where is the best place from these three that we've mentioned as far as asking for tefillos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'tov yosa ligboa tefilos al kol hinyonim atzrichim lo." It's the best place, really, to add in tefilos, personal requests for everything you need, is achas shesem kol ashron esrei. After you finish the entire ashron esrei, milikavam bil birkas shemat tefila. Even better than setting it up in shemat tefila. The reason being, kidei sheitzarech lanos kadosh kedusha, because if it comes that the tzibur is ahead of you now and they're up to kadosh or up to a kedusha. So then, after you said yularotzon, you can answer. So even though you're asking Hashem for whatever it is, you can answer with the tzibur. But if you're in Shemat Tfila, or you're in the other middle brachos, and therefore now, when the chazan gets the kedusha, you're not able to answer, or the chazan gets to a kaddish, you're not able to answer. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us the best place is really to do it during Alkai Netzar. So, again, so you have your three places, and a person should, you know, obviously knowing his Shemoneh Esrei, feel out where it comes out best. Once a person learns how to tap into these opportunities and to add in these personal tefillos, he'll find that each occasion he has to daven is now takes on a new meaning. It's a different meaning to him. It's his moment where he can unload his burdens to Hashem, speak his heart, and find the inner peace, knowing that Hashem, who he's trusting and loves him, is there to listen and take care of him. And these personal requests can warm the heart with all emotions of human need and longing, to the point that it even can turn someone who, you know, many of us, you know, sometimes feel that, you know, we daven and we may want to cry, no tears come, you know, but if we add these requests, that warmth from these requests, knowing of who we're talking to, can turn even the rock-hard ice that flows within us, or is not flowing within us, can turn it into a flowing river of feeling in the davening. And every word of the tefillah then carries along this current where the entire tefillah becomes more sincere and has a greater intensity than we might have been able to reach otherwise. So that was number 12. Another one, my numbering is off, the 13th is making a makom kavua. And our avos have shown us, the ones who set up tefillah, that having a set place for davening is very important. As the pasuk tells us, "Vayashkim Avram baboker," Avram got up in the morning, "El ha'makom ha'shomad shom es pnei Hashem," to the place where he had been, where he was there with the pnei Hashem. And the unklus tells us that it's la'asra, to the place, the shamesh tamud bitzlo, where he was davening to Hashem, that was where he was davening to Hashem for Sodom. And the next day, Avram got up and again turned to the same place, because davening in the same place is very important. By Yitzchak, it tells us, "V'Yitzchak ba mi be'er l'chayroi." Yitzchak came from the be'er, you know, from be'er l'chayroi. The Ramban tells us that Yitzhak used to go there, Shai Yitzhak Holech Tamid El Amakam Ahu, Ki Hulo Makam Tfilo, that was the place of Tfilo for Yitzhak, Bavar Haro Sham HaMaloch, because the Malach appeared there. And therefore, since the Malach came to this well, Yitzhak felt it was an important Nechashiv place, so he always would go there. The Sforno says a similar thing. He says, Laspal B'Makam Shabo Nishma Tfilo Shevchaso, that was where Haggah's Tfilo was accepted. So therefore, Yitzhak would always go to the same place to daven. And lastly, Yaakov, Vayetze Yaakov Bereshavi Yocharana, the Pasuk tells us he went to Charan, and then Vayifka Bamakom, and he ended up on Har Moriah. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chulin, that Yaakov had gone all the way to Charan, then realized, how could it be I didn't stop at Har Moriah, that's where Avram had daven, Yitzhak had daven, how could it be I didn't stop there, and he went back, and that's Vayifka Bamakom, Hashem made Kvitzas HaDerech, that the mountain came and greeted him also. So we see that the importance of having a set place, and to the fact that that's where, you know, till today, the Makom HaMikdash is a place that Klal Yisrael tries to go to daven, as it's a very important place that it has this type of Kedusha. There's a story brought in Sefer Derech Shira about a Rav who once traveled to Vilna, and it was time to daven Mincha. He went into some shul to daven, and as he began to daven, he felt this unbelievable spiritual uplifting, to the point that he almost felt like he was davening the Elon Yom Kippur. And he was just, you know, he couldn't figure out, you know, he wasn't doing anything different. What was so different? What moved him, you know, about, you know, in this davening? And when they finished davening, he asked some of the local people, you know, did anything take place in this shul? Did, you know, is there any history? And they told him that when the Vilna Gaon used to come into the city of Vilna to daven, I guess, with the shul, this is the shul he would come to. So he said, oh, okay, and where did he daven? And they pointed, it happened to be the exact spot that this Rav was davening on. And he realized that these few square feet in this little, simple shul had so much Kedusha years and years later that it totally changed his tefillah without really any intent on his end. And therefore, a makom kavua is very important. And the Rambam lists, he says, Shmona dvarim tzarech ha-mispal leizar behen. There are eight things a person who davens has to be careful with, lasosan, and to do. And one of them near the end he lists is v'tikun ha-makom, is again setting up a place. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us that a person shouldn't move from his place unless there's a reason, such as he had to do a mitzvah or he's compelled to do so. Now, a makom kavua is dalet amos, so therefore, a person shouldn't therefore take this and say, oh, if I come into shul and someone's there, got to throw him out. You are able to sit in the seat next to or, you know, within the dalet amos. That's still the makom kavua. The Gemara in Brachas tells us also how important the makom kavua is. It says, Amar Reb Chelba, Amar Rav Huna, Kol kaveh makom l'tfiloso. Anyone who sets a place for his tefillah, Elokei Avram be'ezro, Hashem comes to help him. Uchshemeis, Hashem of Avram, I should say, comes to help him. Uchshemeis, and when he dies, Omrim lo, they say about him, Ayana of a chassid, where's the humble person, where's this chassid, Mitalmidav shah Avram Avino, he was from the Talmidim of Avram Avinu. And the Gemara happens to just finish, and why Avram? Because we see, and it brings the pasuk we brought, of how Avram had a makom kavua. And the Tzlach asks, says, what does having a makom kavua have to do with Anava, being humble? What's the connection? And he answers and explains this Gemara. He says that the main reason for a makom kavua is to gain from that makom. He says a person who maintains this habit is acknowledging that, you know, my tefillah alone is not a tefillah. I need the makom that I'm in, this spot, to help my tefillah, as opposed to a person who wanders and one day daven's in this seat, another day in this seat, is basically saying, my tefillah is good enough. I don't need a specific spot, and therefore I can daven anywhere. So therefore, you're humble and you're from the Talmidim of Avraham by being able to say that, you know, I have a makom. Now, if obviously the right makom can help a tefillah, the opposite, a wrong makom, can damage it too. And a person should therefore make sure not to daven in a place where he won't be able to concentrate. For example, where children that are too young are in shul and they're running around. And as the Shlo just mentions, and I just, not that it has to do with the makom kavua, but it was just good to mention, about bringing small children, the Shlo, you know, says on those that bring young children to shul that they have yet to reach the age of chinuch. He says the problem is that they're going to be mesachkim, umrakdin, they're going to be playing and dancing in the shul. They'll be machal kedusha's base of knesses. They'll be machal the kedusha of the shul. They'll take away from the kavana of the people davening. And he says, and not only that, you're going to permanently damage them. Because gam ki yazkinu, when they get older, lo yusuru min hagam hara, they won't be able to take away from these bad min hagim, asher nischanchu bialdusam, which we taught them when they were younger, lishtageya ulavazak tushvesh basic knesset, and they'll continue, you know, in where they were mavazak tushvesh knesset, avok shegiu lechinuch. He says, once they get older and they can understand what they're doing, then you should bring them. But prior to that, he says, you're basically damaging them, and that's why, you know, many times you look around at people that can't sit for davening, or they're in and out, or they're talking. Many times it's related to the fact that they came to shul too young to start with, that there was never that appreciation of where I'm coming, and therefore it remained, you know, even as a grown-up. The same thing is, one should be careful not to daven near a place where there are odors or smells that are disturbing. One shouldn't daven next to people that are talking. And the Sefer Chassidim warns, he says, there are two reasons not to daven next to a wicked person. He says, A, the influence of the neighbor will inspire negative thoughts in you. And secondly, the Shekhinah will remove itself from that evil person's presence, making your tefillah a fruitless endeavor based on the Eila Rasha, Eila Shekhinah. Meaning you necessarily didn't do anything wrong, and you could be davening right. But if you're next to the Rasha, you know, your tefillah is in trouble also. And the last strategy is pausing within the davening. So we had mentioned a while back about preparing or pausing before davening. There's also pausing during davening, where sometimes we can do everything right. We can come early to davening. We can prepare for our davening. We could start davening, and then sure enough, the wheels fall off. We find our minds are everywhere else. So we need to stop within the davening and pause to regroup to pull us back in. And I heard, I have never seen it in writing, so I don't know 100% of it sure or not, but I heard that Rav Pam Zatzal used to specifically use a sitter that would have on top of each bracha in Shemoneh Esrei the name of the bracha, for the purpose of that he would focus on that name so that coming into the bracha he would be able to be focused. And if we would do the same, and I know that the art school has, I don't know necessarily other ones because I happen to use an art school, so I know that, you could highlight it, you could underline it. There are different techniques a person can have which can refocus them before the train just, you know, runs off the track and keep them, you know, in place. And the Chafetz Chaim I saw yesterday in Shabbos in the Sefer Shem Olam brings the same idea that he says before every bracha, he seems to say, even if you have the kavana, but he's saying before every bracha you should stop momentarily, think about what the bracha I'm about to say is talking about, and this will keep you from davening by rote and be able to keep you focused. Now, these again are just some of the strategies, and we'll run through the different 14 that we mentioned. We mentioned quieting the mind, taking time to prepare, doing something, feeling the need, understanding the meaning, praying from a sitter, mastering the mind, revising old habits, finding joy, having a spirit of excitement, having a personal request, a personal place. We mentioned about visualization, and then the pausing within davening. Now, I'm sure there are many more, and if anyone has things that they use during davening that they would like to share, certainly it would be beneficial. So I don't know if anyone else has anything that they personally use, but if there's something they use, you know, certainly, you know, we can all gain from that. I guess not.
Halfway to prayer.
How do you like a short davening with 10 or 10, 11 people? Part of that sibur.
To be honest, I'm not sure. You know, I certainly, you know, have seen it, and you sort of feel sometimes, I know there are times that are like that I'll daven a little quicker because I know I daven slower, not to be much react, not because I know that it's right, but then I'll turn around and they're still waiting because there's one or two other people that, you know, are being necessarily being matriach. Now, I'm not sure if that's called being matriach, because you see that's the question is that called a tircha? Meaning if everyone was davening correctly, you know, everyone would necessarily be davening a little slower. If people are sort of brushing off the davening because they're in a rush, they don't understand it, whatever the reason might be, is it therefore my cheshbon that I have to do the same? So I don't know. I mean, that's something that, you know, Das Torah, you know, is needed to be able to say what's the balance, what's proper, and it could be there's something in the middle where they'll say, you know what, you know, maybe you should go a little quicker when you're not, you know, per se as long as normally, but at the same time, you know, they have to wait a little because you don't have to ruin your davening, you know, because
is it worth it maybe not just
so you're trading tefillah b'tzibur there,
you're still with the tzibur,
right, but
you know,
you're davening. So again, there are two aspects, and that's something that in every tzibur they have to be careful, especially on a morning tefillah by Shacharis, is that you may have 10 people in the room, but if you don't have 10 people starting Shemoneh Esrei, you don't have tefillah b'tzibur. So if you answer everything, yes, you davened with a tzibur, so you got all the Kaddish, Kedushas, Amens, all that, but as far as your tefillah being a tefillah b'tzibur, that you don't have. I mean, your tefillah technically is a tefillah b'yachid then.
Maybe you're going to the wrong minion.
I asked Charlotte, you have to
maybe you're going to the wrong minion.
Most shuls are proper shuls that value davening. There's an established time idea. I mean, most people did a rav or somebody like. I remember when I was davening by first, right? First, you saw me, you know, Rosh Hashanah, he said, the Shmoneh Esrei said, you know, don't start before 10 minutes, no duty. But at the same time, doesn't because.
Right, so okay, so Yom Neroyim, for example, I daven quicker. And that's a trade that I make. That I find that my davening in general, davening for the Amud, is an uplifting thing for me. That yes, I trade my Shemoneh Esreis, the quiet ones, to be done at a quicker pace than I would for sure daven if I was davening myself. But really, but what Michael's saying is really not forgetting even the Chazan. Let's say you have 10 people and you daven a little slower. You know, I daven slower. I do. So do I have to rush my davening so we have 10 people done so the Chazan can start Shemoneh Esrei? Or can I daven my pace?
You can start with
so there's b'di'evit. And what if you have 5 people that daven slow?
Well, that's different.
So, you know, right. So he's sort of saying, at what point is it to someone, is there the chiyuv to the person to say, you know what, you got to speed up because everyone else is waiting? Or we say, you know what, everyone else should daven a little slower, understand what you're doing, because he's, you know, they're davening correct. And that's something that only a Rav or Das Torah really has the ability to sort of weigh out. What's better or what's has more value, you know, in doing.
What I do personally is my normal mincha. I know by the time, and it always happens, not always, but usually what happens is that by the time the tefillah is done, with repetition is right when I'm done. And then by Ma'ariv, I do the regular Ma'ariv, not my, like...
Right, so many times... People's Shemoneh Esreis change also, right? Due to the tefillah, many times they'll change again, based on my Shacharis is my best Shemoneh Esrei, my Ma'ariv is usually my worst Shemoneh Esrei. You know, again based on how quickly you're getting into the Shemoneh Esrei, so suddenly Shemoneh Esreis will change. But on a personal thing, you know, it's something again that if a person's constantly at such a minyan where there's exactly 10 or 11. And he's in such a place, you know, it's worth finding out and asking, whether it's someone like a Rabbi Eidlitz or Rabbi Bess, someone that knows halacha well enough to weigh the two sides for what is really the best thing. And then, you know, whatever it is, be able to be comfortable, whether they say daven quicker, or to be comfortable to have everyone making the noises or snickering behind you while you're trying to daven, and trying to stay focused. Okay, so the story and then the homework.
They turn the lights off when they leave.
Right. So there was a sergeant, a staff sergeant in the armed forces that was dispatched to Iraq after 2011. He was from Baltimore, and prior to going in, when he was not on active duty, he used to teach. In the TA over there, in the Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim, the Talmudic Academy of Baltimore. And as he was, drafted again or got his papers to go to Iraq, so the school said, we're going to daven for you. And it was on a day, 110 degrees out there in the deserts. And this sergeant was approached by two young men, 18, 19 years old, and they said to him, they said, you know what, we're going to be honest, we're scared. And he said to him, he says, you know what, men, there's nothing to be scared of. Back home, there's a school of 800 Jewish kids that are davening, that are praying for our safe being. There's nothing to be worried about. And they went, they went back on their way, and everything turned out okay. And when he came back in 2005, and he came back to the yeshiva, so he told them, he said, there were 208 men in the unit, 38 that he had directly under care, and not one did they lose in the entire time. So again, we see the koach, the power of tefillah, That, you know, if people are davening, and people are, again, these are children again davening, so children we already mentioned how special it is, but if people are davening, we know how special their tefillah is. So last week the homework was not talking during Chazaras HaShatz, so that was, we'll do that for Shacharis, and this week we'll add that into Mincha, and then we'll slowly start to spread out to other parts of the davening. That will keep us a little busier. You know, will keep us focused, I should say, more on the davening, as opposed to keeping dual duty of davening and schmoozing at the same time.